Riley, how was the first day of school?
Fine, I guess.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
Signal the husband.
Uh-oh. She's looking at us. What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What is it, woman? What?
Joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. Ah! We're Riley's emotions. Woo-hoo! Yay! These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Take it back, Joy.
I'm trying.
Joy, no. Let's go.
The core memories.
No.
Can I say that curse word now?
What do we do now?
Nothing's working. Why isn't it working?
We have a major problem.
Oh, I wish Joy was here.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters.
That's long-term memory. You could get lost in there.
Think positive.
Okay. I'm positive you will get lost in there.
What was that?
Was it a bear?
There are no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear.
This place is huge.
Imagination Land?
No way. Dream Productions?
Rainbow Unicorn.
She's right there.
I loved you in Fairy Dream Adventure Part 7. Okay, bye. I love you.
You can't focus on what's going wrong. There's always a way to turn things around.
It's broccoli.
Congratulations, San Francisco. You've ruined pizza.
Who's the birthday girl? Brain freeze!
Hang on!
All right. Well, Inside Out, you know, this is a great, great movie. Out of curiosity, how many of us have seen Inside Out so far? Awesome. Just so I know what kind of connects we have. And if you haven't seen it, totally fine. My kids could not wait to see this movie. And it was very innovative, very fun, actually really, really deep. The kids didn't get that, but as adults, I mean, it really went deep. And Inside Out is about a girl named Riley. And the cool thing is Riley, like all of us, she struggles with her emotions. She struggles with which emotion has taken over her life at different points throughout the day. And it's not just about seeing these emotions. You don't just see them on the outside in the movie, but the movie actually takes you inside Riley's head, and you actually get to see how these different emotions interact with one another, which is very, very fascinating. And really, this is what takes place in all of our lives. And just like in the movie, there's usually one emotion that tends to override all of the other ones in certain sequences of our lives. And so what's fascinating about this movie is they actually matched up each emotion with a character. And you kind of saw that in the trailer. But I want to kind of go through these real quick just so we have faces with these and show you the characters and see if you can remember or figure out, if you haven't seen the movie, which emotion goes with what. So here's the first one right here. Take a look at this one. You can notice, who's this? Happy disposition, this is? Joy. Yeah, this is Joy. And now, just out of curiosity, how many of us wish or would desire joy to be our primary emotion that dominates our life? Yeah, probably most of us, right? I mean, every now and then, it's like, I don't want any joy in my life. Well, we probably don't want to be around you either. So, you know, good luck. But you know, most of us, we want joy, right? And just like in the movie, whenever Riley had joy being the primary driver in her life was actually going well. Now, here's the next one. Take a look at this one. He's a little scared, a little unsure. Who is this? This is fear. Yeah, this is fear. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands on this one, but how many of us are dealing with this emotion right now? You know, there's some element of fear that's sitting in the driver's seat. Maybe it's over a job or over a finance situation or something with our kids. You know, fear has a way of moving into that driver's seat and taking over. Here's the next one right here. Take a look at this one. He's played by comedian Lewis Black, which probably gives you exactly the emotion. This is what emotion right here? Anger, yes. This is anger right here. And again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of us, you know, from time to time throughout the day, this emotion in an unwanted way begins to take over and become the driver of our lives? Now, this next one's really fascinating because, and I'm going to try to help you with it a little bit. I see this one all over the place in Fishers and the greater Indianapolis area. Anybody know what this emotion is right here? I see it when I drive down I-69. Disgust, yes. You know, disgust is interesting because, you know, there are people who this is like their primary mode of operandi, right? I mean, this is how they operate all the time. Some of them email me all the time. I mean, you know, and so, you know, it's just their general posture in life. Now, there's one more here, and you can see on her face, she's a little down. Anybody know what this one is? Sadness, yeah, sadness. That's a fascinating one. Sadness is one that, again, can get in the driver's seat and just begin to take us to an entirely different place. Now, what's intriguing about the movie is that, just like all of us experience, these range of emotions can dominate or be in the driver's seat in our lives, even all of them within one day. In fact, in some of our lives, it's like all of them in 1 hour, right? We're just on like a constant roller coaster, and psychologists have actually coined a concept or a term to kind of capture this whole idea, and it's called EQ. Now, most of us are probably familiar with IQ, right? IQ is emotional intelligence, and what's fascinating is employers used to use IQ to kind of determine, you know, if someone was capable of doing a job, what kind of proficiency they had. But today, there's been a lot of shifts in our culture over the last few decades. And today, employers actually use EQ as one of the primary kind of metrics to determine if somebody is going to be competent in a particular job. It also can determine competence in relationships. In fact, here at Crosspoint, whenever we hire someone, we will run 5 or 6 assessments, leadership assessments, just things that really help us look at how that individual is wired, and we'll kind of look through all of those assessments together, but then I put a lot of weight in the EQ assessment. See, EQ is emotional quotient or emotional intelligence, and while it's been determined that IQ is important, I mean, you know, research has shown that if you have an average IQ between 85 and 125, you will be able to perform well in most jobs, right? Most jobs. But here's the thing. Research has also shown that if you don't know how to deal with your emotions, if you don't know how to manage your emotions that come and go throughout the day, that this is a huge predictor of whether you'll have success or experience failure in life. Success in relationships or failure in relationships. And so listen, you might be the smartest person in the room. You might be the smartest person on the planet. But if you cannot manage your emotions, it doesn't matter. And, you know, if you have a sadness that's just set in and you can't seem to shake it, it's going to begin to limit your life. I mean, if there's an anger that sets in and just begins to take over and takes over the driver's seat on a regular occasion, there's going to be a certain level you're going to hit and you're just not going to experience any more fulfillment in life. Right? If there's a fear that kind of creeps in and paralyzes you where, you know, you have a difficult time making decisions out of fear, again, you're going to hit a certain limit in your life. And so, you know, you're going to have a limited amount of success if we're not able to identify and manage our emotions, all right? And let's be honest, we all deal with these negative emotions at one point or another, right? Sometimes within the same day, but it's one thing to have them from time to time. It's another thing when they settle into the driver's seat. Now, fortunately, the Bible has a lot to say about this, all right? It has a lot to say with how to deal with our emotions. And so I want us to work on kind of developing a plan based on Scripture on how to deal with these today. And we're going to start with looking at 1 Peter. In fact, Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's what Peter writes. He says, give all of your worries and cares to God. I repeat that. He says, give all of your worries and cares to God. So this is your emotions right here he's referring to, right? This is your feelings. Your feelings are what drive your worries. And so he says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour. So notice what Satan's number one desire is right there. What is it? What does it say? It says his main desire is to trip you up. His main desire is to hurt you, to rob you of the joy of life, and to allow those negative emotions to just kind of dominate and take you to places you never intended to go, to hurt you in ways you don't want, to hurt others around you in ways you don't want as well. Now, the question I want us to really get to this morning, and I want us to answer right now, is there an emotion, one of these negative emotions, that's dominating or dictating my life right now? All right, is there an emotion that just kind of rises up, you know, throughout the day, at some point in the day, and then it begins to impact the rest of your day? And so I want you to think about that. I want you to write that down. So if you're working in the app in the notes section, you can just type it into your app. If you're on, you know, working with your weekly, take that out, and just, you know, even if you're not taking notes, I want you to write a word down. I want you to write the word of that emotion down that you deal with the most, all right? That one that just kind of rises up and grabs control. Now, if it's joy, that is phenomenal. But for most of us, you know, we're probably going to have a different emotion, all right? Maybe it's anger. You know, maybe it's fear. Maybe it's disgruntledness. Maybe it's insecurity. Whatever it is, I want you to write it down, and we're going to kind of refer to this throughout the morning because I want us to talk about how to deal with that emotion. Right, I want us to come to the place where we can actually overcome that and develop healthy plans and patterns to not allowing that to dominate our life. And here's the thing. I actually believe God wants to give us the power to deal with that this morning. All right? So as we begin today, three quick facts about emotions. You're going to see these and be like, oh, Kurt, those are, everybody knows this. But here's the thing. We don't live as if we know these things. All right? So three quick facts about emotions. Number one, feelings can be unreliable. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how unreliable your feelings can be? I mean, this is why we can't fully trust our feelings. I mean, how many of us have ever thought, man, I just have this feeling in my gut and I know exactly what I need to do. And then we do it. And then we figure out what, oh, that was the wrong decision. Anybody ever done that? I do it all the time, you know. And so, you know, and I have to remind myself, feelings are flawed, right? Feelings are unreliable and they can actually mislead you. Sometimes we get really good at reading them, but they can still mislead us. Number two, not everything you feel, this is a big wake-up call right here, is right, all right? Contrary to what you might have been told, not everything you feel is right. Have you ever noticed this? You have like that feeling in your gut. Maybe it's just dollar taco night coming back to revisit you, all right? I mean, maybe it has nothing to do with what's right, but we tend to think, well, I feel this way, so it must be the right thing to do. No, your feelings are unreliable, and your feelings aren't always right. Third simple fact about feelings is that feelings can be manipulated, right? You know, if you're always guided by your feelings, people are going to manipulate you. They're actually going to have a field day with you. Right, so just think about this from the advertising standpoint, right? I mean, this is what advertisers and marketers do, right? They put something in front of you that you don't really need and you don't really want. You say, well, I don't need that. And before, by the end of the commercial, you're on Amazon buying it, right? And then it shows up and you're like, what was I thinking? I don't need this. The problem was you weren't. You're being driven by your emotions of how good you were going to look or how much this was going to change your life. And then when you open up the box, you're like, as if I needed another pair of pajama jeans, right? One was enough. Actually, one was too many, right? I mean, who needs a pair of pajama jeans? But here you have it. Because this is called impulse buying, and this is what marketers do. They actually manipulate our emotions. Well, it's not just marketers. Like, we can manipulate one another's emotions. So you can't always trust your feelings, all right? Feelings can be manipulated. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. God understands all this. Here's what's cool. God actually has feelings as well. I don't know if you've ever considered that, but God actually feels many of the same emotions that you and I feel. You know, that's why we have emotions, because you and I are created in the divine image of God. We're divine image bearers of God himself. And so God experiences joy. God experiences anger. God experiences frustration. God experiences sadness. Right? And so these are actually a gift, believe it or not. Your emotions are actually a gift to you. Sometimes they don't seem that way. Right? But even the negative emotions that come into our lives have a place at times. In fact, it's really fascinating in the movie that, you know, Joy, as we would think, tries to kind of be the primary driver, and she comes to the place of realizing that just because I'm the one that is mostly wanted, the other emotions are also needed for us to be a complete person. So these are the things that allow us to not be robots. These are the things that allow us to love when we experience anger and sadness and frustration at times. But we've all been in that moment, all been in those situations, maybe it's even this morning, where there's a negative emotion that's just grabbing control of us and driving our life. And as a result, it hurts us, and it hurts all those around us that we love. You know, one of the things that was really cool for me while I was away on my rest and study break, which was mostly rest this time. You know, our governance board said, hey, we just want you to go away and rest. And it was very helpful, very, very refreshing, a great time with family during our 4 weeks that we were disconnected and kind of away. But, you know, something happened that I wasn't expecting. And, you know, it was about 2 weeks in. You know, something happens when you get disconnected from the things that bring identity to you, you know, like your job and how you're needed in a role as a pastor and so on and so forth. And as I began to get somewhat disconnected from that, I began to see things in my life that I didn't really like. And one of the things I began to see, or maybe it was just become more aware of, was that, you know, there are certain things that I've been robbing myself of, specifically joy. I realized, man, I've kind of lost the joy to a certain degree in some of what I get to do in life in general, because I wasn't dealing with some of the moments of frustration and anger in a healthy way. And it really came to a head about the third weekend. We were sitting by the pool, and one of my younger daughters said to me, she said, you know, Dad, I like it when you're not angry. Do you think when we get home you're not going to be angry as much? I said, am I angry often? She said, yeah, but do you think you won't be angry as much? And of course I thought, I'm not angry. I never get angry. What are you talking about? You know, that was my first thought. I didn't say that. You know, then I kind of started defending myself, and I'm like, well, you know, my anger problem, as I tell my kids all the time, is really a result of your listening problem. You got a good listening issue. You figure listening out, I'll figure anger out. But, you know, but I didn't say that either, because, you know, I'm actually having to get comfortable and see myself for who I really am, with no titles, no roles, just dad and husband. And you know what my heart did? It actually just kind of went, ugh, she's right. She's right. And you know, it's just amazing how, you know, you get a little distance and you have to get comfortable with who you are, or say, you know, man, I'm not really comfortable with who I've become. And I began to look back and say, man, there's certain seasons where I've just kind of disconnected because I've not dealt well with some of the emotions I've been dealing with in my life and in my work. And it was hurting me, and obviously it was beginning to have an impact on my kids. And so I realized that if we don't have the ability to manage our emotions, all right, we're either going to hurt ourselves and or the people around us. So the ultimate question I want us to answer this morning is, do I want to have a life that's emotionally driven, or do I want to have a life that's God-driven? And because, you see, we can't have both. All right, you can't say, oh, I'm going to be driven by anger all the time and sadness and just, you know, wallow in my sadness and be driven by God. No, you're going to either be driven by God, or we're going to learn to deal with these emotions. And one of the things I've discovered is, man, I'm a lot happier when I'm letting God drive my life. I'm a lot happier when I'm you know, my family's a lot happier with me, a lot easier to live with when God is kind of driving my life instead of me riding the emotional roller coaster. And so how do we do this? All right, well, I want to look at kind of four quick hitters this morning, all right, because that's probably the big question. I've got this emotion. I've written it down. I deal with this. It impacts my life on a regular basis. I wish it wouldn't take control of my life. How do I deal with it? Well, here's four things, four quick hitters, four biblical principles to handle our emotions wisely and in a biblical way. All right, number one, first thing we have to do is we have to actually tell God what we're feeling. All right, it seems simple, right? We don't do it very well. We have to tell God what you're feeling. First thing you need to do is you need to just say, okay, God, here's what I'm feeling right now, and I just want to be open and honest with you. There's actually a word for it. You know what it's called? It's called prayer. That's the word for it. And in the Bible, it has this fascinating section in the Old Testament that's kind of this roller coaster of emotion. It's in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is King David's prayer journal. Now, the whole Old Testament portion of the Bible is really kind of this meta-narrative of what God is doing in the world, in the lives of his people, in the lives of the Israelites, how he's relating to them, how he's showing up in their lives. And so the book of Psalms is David, in essence, writing prayers to God, writing songs to God, putting words and expressing himself to God. In fact, take a look at one of the things he says here. He's talking about the highs of relationships, the highs of leaderships, the low of leadership, the low of relationships. Here's what he says. Psalm 10, he says, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide your face in times of trouble? So what's David doing here? He's telling God how he feels. He's saying, God, listen, this is what I feel right here. Here's what's going on. You know why? Because he actually believes God can do something about it. See, here's where you and I differ a bit from David. See, so many times when we're dealing with negative emotions, we're like, hey, God, I got it. Got it. I got this. I'm good. Good on my own. We just kind of suppress it down, and I'm going to handle this myself. And here's the thing. As long as we operate in a mode of self-sufficiency, we neuter God's ability to bring any kind of power or presence into our life. And I've kind of realized that. It's one of the things that became very clear to me. The more I just press down how I'm feeling, I kind of limit God's ability to do something in my life. And this is a huge step of spiritual maturity right here. See, so many times we think, man, I'm actually showing insecurity if I have to go to God with everything I'm feeling. No, that's actually a huge step of spiritual maturity to actually go to Him with our emotions and our lives. I mean, think about that emotion you wrote down a few moments ago. You know, that negative emotion, likely for most of us, a negative emotion. I mean, if it's anger, you know, maybe you just lose your anger at the drop of a hat. Or you know, it's fear, and you just get paralyzed, and you're always fearful. You can't make decisions, always worried about the future. You know, whatever that emotion is, I mean, you know, what David's doing, he's saying, hey, he's modeling for us. Hey, I can say, God, where are you? I'm feeling a little disconnected here. Here's how I'm feeling, and here's what's going on in my life. One of the books that I really dove into during my time away was a book called Prayer by Tim Keller, one of my favorite pastors, authors. And I just felt like, you know, this is an area that if I'm going to refresh, you know, relationally with my family and physically, I want to refresh with God as well. And so I got into this book, and he had a really good definition of what prayer is. In fact, he asked the question, what is prayer to its fullest extent? And here's what he says. He says, prayer is continuing a conversation. Notice he didn't say starting. He says, it's continuing a conversation that God has started through his word and grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with him. In essence, what he's saying is, you know, when you draw close to God, God draws close to you. In fact, that's what James said as he was writing. He said in James 4:8, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. God's saying, look, when you draw close to me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to draw near to you. So we need to go to God with our emotions. So many times we just press them down. I got it, I'm good. No, we've actually got to go to him. In fact, I want us to do that right now. I want us to just pause for a moment and take whatever that word was we wrote down. And I don't want to make you do something you don't want to do, but I want to give us the opportunity that if you want to just right now tell God about that, that you have the opportunity to do this. So let's bow our heads if you want to take these to God. God, we all have emotions that take over our lives. We don't want to be ruled by these. Most of us at least really want joy to be the dominant emotion, but if we're really honest, as we're trying to be this morning. Oftentimes it's anger, it's fear, it's disgust, it's insecurity. And God, we just want to share these with you right now. You know what they're like. You've experienced them. You understand them. You're an emotional God. And God, I just want to give us a moment where we can just share with you quietly how we're feeling right now. God, what we're doing right now is we are drawing close to you. And God, my prayer is that as we do this, you would draw close to us. Amen. Now, if this is an area that you say, man, I just really need to grow in this. I've given this to you as one of your next steps this morning. In fact, Tim Keller has a 14-day prayer devotional that I started with for the first, you know, 2 weeks of my time off, and it's in your next steps today. So on the back of your connection card, if you feel like, you know, this is something I really need to be intentional about, mark that as your next step. It's actually under the Bible button in the app. You can sign up for it and participate in it for the next 2 weeks. Second source, we first need to go to God and tell him how we feel. Second thing we do if we want to better manage our emotions is we have to identify the source of our feelings. All right, so you can't tame the emotion until you understand and name what that emotion is and where it's coming from. All right, and so until you tame the, you can't tame the feeling unless you understand it. All right, so what does that mean? It means you can't make a change, you can't adjust your life or learn how to manage that feeling until you understand and know the source of that feeling. Now, take a look at what David writes, again, in his prayer journal. This is a prayer of somebody who's trying to grow in this. Here's what he says in Psalm 39. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down those words, search me. He says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. All right, if you're taking notes, write the two words, test me down. He says, point out anything that offends you, write down point out, and then lead me along the path of everlasting life. So write down the words, lead me. Look at those four sets of words. Search me, test me, point out, and lead me. I tell you what, this is the prayer of someone right here who's trying to understand why they feel the way that they feel. All right, this is somebody who's going to God and said, God, help me understand what's going on inside of me. And here's the thing, we can do the same thing. All right, earlier I asked you to write down that emotion that you deal with the most, that negative emotion that rears its ugly head. And it's not enough to just kind of identify that emotion and write it down. The next step is we actually have to go and understand why we're feeling that emotion. Now, I want to give you something that has been very transformative for me over the last number of years. And it comes from one of my close friends, Dr. Mike Hamm. He and I used to serve at a church together. And he was actually here this past fall meeting with some of our men in the fall Promises of Porn group, and he gave them the same process in helping them identify some of the things that are leading to unwanted behavior for them. And so here's the process. It's called the T process, T-E-A, and it stands for thinking, emotions, and actions or behaviors. Now, here's how this works. So I have to ask myself, all right, how is my thinking, how is my interpretation of a particular encounter, experience, or an event, how is my understanding of that actually influencing or impacting my emotions? You know, whether that be creating anger, disgust, whether I'm feeling insecure about something, whether it's causing fear to kind of rise up. So how is my thinking or understanding impacting my emotions, and then how are my emotions leading to my behavior? Right? How are they leading to my actions and the way that I'm living my life? Because here's the thing. Your thinking affects your emotions, which has a direct correlation to the way you act, to the way you behave, to the things that you do. For instance, you know, maybe you're experiencing some marital tension this weekend. Maybe, you know, you're thinking, man, a great holiday weekend. All of a sudden, things are just on the rocks. And you're kind of like, why is it this way? And you just write it off. You're like, well, I'm just kind of feeling sad. I'm just down. I mean, I'm just a little discouraged. Well, you have to ask yourself, is that really how I'm feeling? I mean, is that really the reason why I'm having some of this tension with my spouse? And so you need to dig a little deeper and say, okay, why exactly am I feeling this way? And then you realize, you're like, wow, well, you know, 3 days ago, I got criticized at work. I mean, that just really dug deep on me. And so, you know, you have to dig a little deeper and say, okay, what does that event and how I've interpreted that, how is that impacting my emotions? Maybe my irritation isn't actually with my spouse. Maybe the tension is being manifested with my spouse, but maybe it was this thing that was said in the office, and every day since then, when I drive home from work, I've just been perseverating on it. Because we do that, right? We hear something that something happens we don't like, and we just perseverate on it. We just think about it over and over and over, and you dwell on it, and then you walk in the door to your house, and you have a short little fuse. Something little happens, and you just go off. Now, I know this role pretty well. I've kind of experienced this a few times, right? And so, you know, so you have to dig deep and say, okay, is this just because I'm sad or I'm a little down? Or is my frustration because of that thing that was said at work? Because the way we interpret things, our thinking actually impacts our emotions, and our emotions directly lead to our behaviors. If we want to tame the emotion, we have to identify the source. All right, step number two. Step number three. You have to invest. We need to invest in a relationship with a trusted and godly friend, somebody who's spiritually going in the same direction as us. Invest in a relationship with a trusted, godly friend. You know the worst place to be when you're sad? It's all alone. You know the worst place to be when you're afraid? It's all alone. You know the worst place to be when you're angry? It's on I-69. And then the second worst place is all alone. In fact, the worst place to be is all alone on I-69 at 7:30 in the morning. That's the absolute worst place to be when you're angry. But see, here's the thing. The worst place to be when we're experiencing these negative emotions is all alone, by yourself. One of the cool things that this movie was really deep. One of the cool things that lifted out was that when you're struggling with these negative emotions, it really did a phenomenal job of kind of dictating and indicating how these emotions kind of vie to take control of your life. The wagers, the interactions that begin to take place in our minds between all of these emotions and how they try to actually get in the driver's seat. It was fascinating how our mind begins to run wild and how our vision and our clarity in life begins to get clouded. A few years ago, when we were in the process of trying to get this building up and off the ground, we'd been working with contractors to get our plans set, and architects to get our plans and our building, plans set, and we're working with lenders to get the funding package in place, and we were just about ready to go, and we realized we were about $150,000 short on our lending package. So we went back to our lenders and said, hey, we need to talk to you. I want to talk to you about, just extending our lending package just a bit. It's not much, but we went in and had a meeting. They're like, yeah, we'd love to talk to you. So we go in, and a couple of our finance guys and a couple of their finance guys get together. And as soon as we sat down, they said, we are really glad that you guys, came to talk to us, because we're not comfortable with what we've extended to you. We're actually going to retract our commitment to you. I'm like, whoa, really? Like, yeah, we're pulling it back. And you could just see the steam start coming out of my ears, right? In fact, one of the guys from the lending group actually looked at me. He said, "Now, Kurt, I know." He said, "I know you probably feel like we just pulled the carpet out, because we're ready to go, right? We're in sequence. We've got our timing. We're ready to break ground. We've got groundbreaking parties happening." And he's like, you probably just feel like we pulled the carpet out a little bit from underneath you, right?" I said, "Oh no, not at all. No." And I said, "It's a little more like this. Have you ever been kicked in the hoo-hoo?" And these are all men, by the way, all right? I'm like, and they look at me. I'm like, "No, seriously, have you ever been kicked in the hoo-hoo?" I didn't use that little sound. It was a little more graphic. And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, that like sick to your gut feeling when you get kicked there? That's how I feel. I'm about ready to vomit on you guys. And they're like all pushing back from the table. And I think they're blown away. I'm just being real with them, right? And so, we walk out of there and I am fuming. It was one of the darker seasons of the last couple years of my life. And here's the kicker in the whole deal. I had to drive by their office every single day on my way to work. Every day I saw the name of that company, I just pulled my phone out and I'm driving, dictating an email, and I'm getting really crude and I'm starting to drop F-bombs. I'm like, "Don't you effing ever tell a church planner about risk. You talked about we're going to risk with you. You're not risking." Risking is, when we start a church, and we know 80% of marriages fail when you start a church. Don't ever effing, I'm just getting really, I'm going to town. And I'd call my buddy John and I'd say, "John, I've got this email. I just really feel like I need to tell them how I feel." And he'd talk me down. See, he's somebody spiritually going in the same direction that's not as clouded as I. He was angry. He wasn't as clouded as I was emotionally. Now, I told this somewhere a few years ago, and somebody said, "Now, Kurt, did that really happen? Come on, you're a pastor, and I know sometimes we'll share things. You kind of get attention to people." I'm like, "It really didn't happen that way, no. I didn't drop a email. I had like 12 of them ready to go. Every single day, I'm like dictating an email every time I drive by their office, and I call my friend, and he'd talk me down." Here's the thing. I'm honest. I'm going to be honest. It's not one of my prouder moments, all right? But I'm telling you this because I would call my friend, and he was much clearer emotionally than I was. And he would talk to me and say, "Kurt, it's not going to help. Somebody will come along and fund this for us. They just got us to this point." And having that friend that could spiritually come alongside me, that was going the same direction, that could encourage me and speak into my life. In fact, take a look at Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. It says, "Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls," that's what I'd done, I'd kind of fallen. "If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble." See, we need people like this that encourage us, godly people in our lives, to be there in those dark times, when our emotions are a roller coaster, to bring clarity. Let me ask you a question. Do you have anybody in your life that you've given permission to challenge your emotions, to challenge the way you feel about something? Or does everybody in your life just feel like they have to be a yes man or a yes woman? Is there anybody in your life that can just say, "Kurt, listen, dude, I love you. I love you, but you're off. You are off right now. Right? Your thinking's off, and you just got to trust me." See, this is one of the next steps. This is one of the next steps on the back of your cards this morning. And I kid you not, this is probably one of the single most transformative things I've had in my life over the last number of years. And John played there. I don't know that I'd be here this morning if I would have sent that email. I don't know what that would have done to my career if I would have let my emotions drive the way I was feeling at that moment. This is why we do life together groups. This is why, you know, we do community groups, and they're all going to be kicking off here in a month or so. And because this is where these things form. This is where these kinds of relationships start. Step number four. This is the simplest and yet most difficult. Step number four is we have to trust God's promises. All right. Everything we've talked about today, this one really gets to the heart of the matter. See, when I spent this time over this last month kind of getting, you know, disconnecting a bit, I mean, you know, not in any, like, unhealthy sense, but just being able to get a little space in my life, you know, it's amazing what happened. I didn't anticipate it, but I got really clear on the person that I was becoming. I got some really clear glimpses on the dad I was becoming, on the husband I had been, on the leader I'd been in. And while much of it was good, there were some pieces I just didn't like. And I had to come down to this reality of realizing that I'm not dealing well with some of the stresses of life. And I've got to make a decision of whether I'm going to continue to ride those emotions or if I'm going to trust in God and what he promises. And what I ultimately realize is these negative emotions are actually contradictory to the very nature of who God is. And one of the verses that just became really, you know, apparent to me, not just during this season, but has really been kind of over the course of my life, is Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. In fact, here's what the wisdom writer says. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. And here's the hardest word in the whole passage right here, submit. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I love this. I love this because this means regardless of how strong my feelings are, regardless of how much understanding I think that I have, regardless of how much my emotions are pushing me to, you know, I'm angry and I just want to hit that email button. I mean, some of us this morning are like, man, I'm feeling that way. I've got somebody at work. I've got the email written. I want to hit the send button. Regardless of how strong those emotions are, no matter how confusing things might seem to be right now, God's word, This scripture, which really means Jesus, right? Because in John 1:1, it says that the word became flesh. So the word of God actually took on the form of flesh in the form of Jesus. And Jesus makes it clear that when we submit ourselves to him, he will make our paths straight. See, my feelings tell me I'm a failure. But Jesus, God's word says, oh, you're not a failure. You're priceless. Don't follow those emotions. You know, my feelings tell me to lash out. You know, to get revenge, to hit send. And God's word, Jesus, the word in flesh, says, no, don't do that. Hold your tongue. Just because you think it doesn't mean they need to know it. My feelings say, oh, be afraid. Don't make a decision. You know, what if this happened? What if that happened? You know, are you prepared? God says, no. Don't be afraid. Jesus says, be courageous. I'm with you. If I'm with you, who can stand against you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, I don't know where this lands for you this morning. I've given you some insight in terms of where it's landed for me. It's been really cool to be away. Loved it. Love time with family. Look forward to it again next summer. But I tell you what, it's amazing when you get in some of those, you start peeling some things back, you begin to see some of the things that you don't like. And one of the things I saw was that I was robbing myself of some of the joys of life because I was letting anger and frustration just dominate. And so I want to ask you to take out your connection card. On the back are some next steps. And maybe you've kind of identified. I've mentioned some of them as we've gone through the morning, but I want you to take a look at these this morning because we're really big on just saying, hey, we're not just giving information or saying, here's what God says about this, but regardless of where we are in the spiritual spectrum, these are things that work. And I just encourage you to say, okay, what's something I can do this week? What's my next step that I'm not currently doing that will help me better manage my emotions going forward? All right, because here's the thing I want you to see. That word you wrote down, you have a choice today. All right, that word does not have to continue to dominate your life. If it's a negative emotion, it doesn't have to continue to dominate and grab control of your life. But you have to make the decision of whether you're going to trust that emotion or submit it to God. Are you going to live an emotionally driven life or a godly driven life? All right, and I want to pray for us as we wrestle through what that looks like for us this week. Let's pray. God, first of all, I just want to thank you for being an emotional guy. I thank you that I get to talk about things that matter and feelings and emotions, and that you're a God who is not some distant, far off being, but God, that you actually invite us to draw near to you. You've drawn near to us, and you, as we draw near to you, you actually draw near to us. God, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for giving us the ability to experience and feel, and that we're not robots and we're not uncaring. We can experience the highs of life and the lows of life, but God, help us to learn from your teachings and your word how to get a handle on this, how to be able to live a more congruent, God-driven life. And God, I just pray that you'd help it make it really clear right now what our next step needs to be. Maybe we've thought about these things before, but God, give us the courage we need to go out and do them. And God, I even believe there's probably some of us here this morning who, maybe for the first time, your heart is just ready to put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and leader of your life. You've been riding the wave of emotions and looking for the feeling side, but it's time to rest in the promises that God is there. He's for you. He's forgiven you. He has grace for you. He will empower you. And then you don't have to lean on your own understandings any longer, on your own intuitions, but you can rest on the promises of God. If you're ready to admit that, God, I've kind of done things my way, I've sinned. That's what sin is. It's when I do it my way. I've done it my way, and I want to begin to invite you to lead me. If that's where you are this morning, just take a moment and tell that to God. Just say, God, I want to receive your grace. I want to receive your forgiveness for going my way. I want to begin to know what it's like to learn from you and to be led by you.